Hey, this is Mike Evans. Listen to every episode of Schlereth and Evans on demand at denverfan.com. Presented by Siltahar Motors. The car buying experience is as easy as call, click, or come in at Siltahar Motors. Get upfront trade value with one call. Research and compare vehicles at sthmotors.com. Or come in and ask for Greg Larson and get $500 off any purchase. Siltahar Motors. Easy to find and conveniently located right off Highway 36 in Wadsworth. Siltahar Motors. Get everything you want out of a dealership.
Ladies and gentlemen, can I please have your attention? I've just been handed an urgent and horrifying news story.
Time now for the DenverFan.com front page.
Stop what you're doing and listen.
Taking a look at the top stories in Denver sports taken from your online home for the best opinions and information on the Broncos, Nuggets, Avalanche, Rockies, and more.
What in the name of Dan Issel?
With today's DenverFan.com front page, here's Schlereth and Evans.
News team assist!
Well, let's start off. A lot of great reaction from what went down last night. Let's start out with Cecil Lammy writing at DenverFan.com about how vintage Russell Wilson arrived just in the nick of time on Sunday. That final drive, the go-ahead touchdown drive, Russell Wilson was 5 of 7 for 58 yards, converted 3 third downs, one with a 12-yard scramble. They get the touchdown to win the game. Why was that vintage Russell Wilson? What was different about Russell Wilson on that drive as compared to the rest of the game?
Well, I think he took some opportunities, right? When he got there and the first thing wasn't open, man, he started scrambling around and making plays. And one thing about that, when you attack line of scrimmage, and I see it all the time, you know, guys that are in zones, like, right, and they have a feel for, you know, what the route combination is, where they are, or guys that are in man, and they peek and they see that running back attack line, or that quarterback, excuse me, attack line of scrimmage. You know what they end up doing? Dropping coverage. That they end up leaving. You know, they leave their depth if they're in zone. They start attacking line of scrimmage, and all of a sudden things open up wide open behind them. And that's what I saw. Attack line of scrimmage, and all of a sudden put the defense under duress. And when they didn't attack it, man, he took off, and on that third down and six, he got a 12-yard run. Those are the things that were vintage about that drive that really put the Broncos in the victory lane.
James Merrillat writing at DenverFan.com about how while the Broncos offense sputters, their defense is in high gear. And you got to remember that when the Broncos scored to go up 11-10, by the way, only the second time in NFL history a game ends 11-10.
Yeah.
There was still 4 minutes left. And as James correctly points out, there have been plenty of examples over the last few years with Vic Fangio and his supposed blueprint defense where they couldn't close. And one of the things that really stood out was after that touchdown, San Francisco still had the ball twice and still had plenty of time, field position to try to come down and kick. All they needed was a field goal. And you had the Jonas Griffith interception. And then the P.J. Lock forced Kareem Jackson recovered fumble. So this defense making big plays to close out the game.
Huge plays to close out the game, critical moments. And it's one thing, as much as, you know, Kyle Shanahan told me everybody's running a version of that, or tons of people are running a version of that Vic Fangio defense. And, you know, and that's got its, you know, fingerprints all over the league right now. One thing about Vic Fangio defense is it seemed to crumble in critical moments to close out games. And we saw it in the Chicago game in 2019, where they came back and won on a field goal at the end. We saw it the Jacksonville game where they drove down. We saw it the Indianapolis game where Jacoby Brissett won the. I mean, on and on and on. We saw it. What we saw yesterday was the Evero defense that got him shut down at the end, which was great.
Will Peterson writing at DenverFan.com about how Nathaniel Hackett, admitting Broncos won ugly, but admits it's still satisfying. By the way, are you okay with the term ugly win? I called it an ugly win last night. I had a couple people say, no.
Sure.
There's no such thing as an ugly win. That was a gritty win.
Gritty?
Gritty.
Gritty.
You okay with gritty or ugly?
I'm okay with ugly.
I'm fine with ugly.
I'm fine with ugly.
Ugly can be beautiful.
Sometimes you need to be ugly. You know what this was?
What?
This was, it's 2 a.m. and the beer goggles are on when.
Yeah, there's nothing wrong with that.
What's wrong with that?
There's nothing wrong with that.
I can make some memorable moments.
I wonder if you've ever been somebody's beer goggles.
Oh, now. Well.
Hey, man. Whatever it takes.
The line drive and the box score.
That's right. Even a bloop single's a line drive in the box score.
That's my ball.
Where were we? So Nathaniel Hackett, what a boy. I don't think he ever envisioned the first 3 weeks being an NFL coach would be like this. He made the big move the other day, or the Broncos made the big move. I still, I know Nathaniel Hackett's getting a lot of attaboys for, hey, you know, first thing in admitting you have a problem is admitting you have a problem, right? And he came out and admitted he needed more help upstairs, that whatever was working or whatever was going on wasn't working with the communication. I still think that this was probably something that came from management. After the game last Sunday, it was, hey, look, this can't continue. Let's do something about it. But to Hackett's credit, he was open to it, worked with Jerry Rosberg, and you know what? The immediate results were good, except aside from going 0-for-2 on the challenges, Mark, the game was managed better.
Mm-hmm.
The plays were coming in much quicker.
Yeah.
One thing I talked about during the pregame show for fans watching, look and see when the Broncos were breaking their huddle. How much time was left? And if they could be routinely between 16 and 20 seconds breaking the huddle, that'd be a good sign, because that allows you, what you were talking about last week, be able to get to the line of scrimmage, be able to look things over. The offensive line can kind of get set and really have an idea about what they wanted to do. We didn't see any delays. We didn't see false starts. So, hey, whoever broached the idea, all that matters is that the game management looked better.
Yeah,
last night. So that's ultimately all that matters.
It doesn't matter. I mean, swallow your pride, right? There's two types of athletes or two types of coaches, those who are humble, those who are about to be. It's about winning. Whatever it takes to win, whatever it takes to put yourself in the best position to win. And you know, mitigate your potential disasters. They did that. It's a great move by the organization. Great move.
All right, so that's what is happening at DenverFan.com. You can check out all the articles, all the video, and it's just going to be continuing to come down all throughout the course of the day, all throughout the course of the week. Great content. Make sure you bookmark it. Make it one of your favorites. Go back to it repeatedly throughout the course of the day, because there's always good stuff coming down.
And are you writing something this week?
Free. Of course I am.
What are you going to write?
There will be a column that will drop Wednesday morning.
What are you going to write?
No, not yet.
You don't know yet.
Don't know yet. I'm still searching for my muse.
Are you? Trying to think about what
I think
might
I think, I don't know, I'm feeling something McDaniels related.
Oh. Mickey D.
As somebody that was lucky / unfortunate enough to be here during his reign of terror.
Yeah,
might be something to comment on, write about.
I like it. I like it.
Look for that on Wednesday.
Yeah. Okay.
So a lot to react to from those columns. Starting with the idea that it was an ugly win.
Mm-hmm.
I think here's where I'm at with Russell Wilson.
Okay.
While acknowledging that everything that we've seen in the first 3 weeks, I expected to happen. I had no problem forecasting the start of this season. What did I say? Here's what I said many times. Broncos will struggle on offense. The good news is they play three quarterbacks. Initially, it was Geno Smith, Drew Lock, Davis Mills, Trey Lance.
Mm-hmm.
Still, what will happen is the schedule is soft enough that you will be able to get a minimum of two wins with your defense carrying you. Okay. Everything, that's exactly what happened.
Mm-hmm.
Broncos offense struggled. Defense carried the day.
They took advantage of going up against average to below average quarterbacks.
Let me ask you a question really quick, because it's just, if I'm Stinkadamus.
Yes. Or Schlairvoyance.
Schlairvoyance.
Yeah.
You're.
What am I?
Heatadamus?
When I get it right.
Heatadamus?
When I get it right, what is it?
That's what I'm asking. That's what I'm asking.
It's got to be something like head, connected like, to my big head.
Right. Heatadamus.
Heatadamus?
I was the Heatadamus.
Heatadamus.
You know, I mean, you are.
We need a nickname.
Yeah, I need a nickname.
Our listeners love giving out nicknames.
When you make all these predictions, when you make all these unbelievable predictions, like.
But you know what? It wasn't
nailed it.
But it wasn't an unbelievable prediction.
You're right.
It was actually just
dumb luck.
Not dumb luck. No, it wasn't even dumb luck.
Dumb luck.
No, it wasn't some bold prediction. It wasn't some dumb luck. It was just common sense.
Common sense. Common sense. Common sense. Common sense. What are you doing? You've got a visionary, right? You're a seer. A seer, but. Common sense.
Okay, I've let this go long enough. What are we talking about?
I've got this vision, Mike. I just can't come up with a name.
No,
I can't. Well, New York, London, Paris, Munich, everybody talk about pop music.
This is the point of a Monday show where Mark starts to get a little punchy, where the effect of the travel maybe catches up a little bit.
I'm like,
that's okay.
I see it.
We're along for the ride.
I see it, but I can't see it.
Right. Anywho.
Okay.
So that's okay. It's okay that for the first three games, the Broncos offense struggled because anybody in their right mind knew it would be a work in progress. Okay. The idea was that after that initial rough start, that the offense would start to take off.
Right.
It would click, and eventually this offense would be that 25 to 27 point per game offense that we all talked about during the offseason. So that's the question that I throw out. What do you take from the first 3 weeks that give you hope that this offense will be clicking to the tune of 24 to 27 points per game within, let's say, by the time we go to London? For Halloween, give me the reasons why what you saw in these first three games that give you hope.
They've consistently been committed to running the football. That gives me hope.
Okay.
And they've consistently run it, even though they didn't run it very well early, they stayed to it, and they ran it well, like I said, on that drive where they just flipped the field and came off the goal line. That gives me hope. I know that when you run it that well with that consistency, it does open up your play-action passing game. That gives me hope. Gives me hope that Russell Wilson took matters into his own hands and said, hey, man, critical drive, I got to go make some plays. I got to be me.
Okay, stop right there.
Okay. Oh, I finally.
I like that.
I got something. See?
I like that.
All right.
I was hoping you'd go there. Because Russell Wilson.
Did you set me up?
No.
Okay.
No. When I got you, I'll let you know I got you.
Yeah.
I'll even say, I got you.
Yeah, but you usually don't got me.
I usually do.
No, you don't.
That's why I don't do it that often.
It's because you can't get me.
It's when I got you.
No, this isn't. Head, but it's no, not I'm a got not, me head.
By the way, Nogandamus?
Nogandamus.
Fever just laughed.
Nogandamus.
Nogandamus.
Yes, Nogandamus. Oh,
I kind of like that one.
Nogandamus is good. Yeah,
he doesn't always get it right, but when he does,
right?
Nogandamus speaks.
Nogandamus. I think that's winner in the clubhouse.
The leader in the clubhouse at least right now.
But who's going to come up with something better than Nogandamus?
Nostradoggin.
Nostranoggin.
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 Ooh. Fever, we got Nostranoggin or Nogandamus.
And Glastronaugan. I don't know. They're both pretty good.
They both sing to me.
I got to write these down in my book just so I can't forget.
We got Nagandamus or Nostradagan. Nostranagan. Nagandamus or Nostranagan. So, back to my original point here. We did see Russell Wilson look like the old Russell Wilson.
Yeah.
But I thought the idea was to change Russell Wilson. To make him more efficient, stay in the pocket.
Sure.
Not the roaming, rambling.
Here's what I told you.
Trying to make things up. And what does it say that when he was trying to do it Nathaniel Hackett's way, we know what the results were. Ugly.
Well, what did Stink?
And then when he broke out and did it his old way, it worked.
What did Stinkadamus tell you last week when you asked me about Elway? Elway could still move. Elway could still scramble. Elway could still throw on the run. Elway could still. He chose not to do that unless it was a critical moment. Like the growth process, and he grew to the point where, obviously, when I played with John, he was, you know, an elite level thrower of the football and everything else. But what I'm telling you is Russell Wilson still needs to play as efficiently as possible from the pocket. But in the critical moments, you got to go make a play. And that's what I was encouraged about.
But why not just let him continue to do what he did on that last drive? Let him do it all the time.
Because it's not a sustainable form of...
Why? It was what he did for the last 10 years.
Yeah.
Yeah?
What he did for the last 10 years.
It was pretty darn good.
Right. Yeah, it was.
Why are we looking to change it then?
Well, because as you age, you can't... Like, eventually, that's gonna catch up to you. You can't. Like, there's no question that he's not. I mean, look at his picture when he first came in. You know, he's a little thicker now and everything else. And there's
husky.
No...
Husky.
He's huskier.
He is husky.
Right.
Take it from one who knows. I know husky when I see husky.
You do
know that's husky.
You do know husky.
I do know husky.
Big boned. You know big bones.
I do know big bones.
I mean, those fingers are still... It's amazing, though, like, how nimble your fingers are, as sausagey as they look. You know what I mean? It just is... It's incredible.
Wait all weekend just to be able to come rolling in here
I'm not body shaming you. I'm not...
Yeah, you are. Stop looking at my hands. I'm putting them under the table right now.
Since...
You're making me uncomfortable.
I was thinking, since I'm Stinkadamus, maybe you ought to go with Nostranagan, right? Because Stinkadamus and Nostranagan.
Nostranagan.
Yeah, because otherwise, Nagandamus and Stinkadamus.
Yeah, kinda it's kind of redundant. Yeah.
Redundant. But Nagandamus, I like that. Nostranagan. Nostranagan. It's pretty good.
Will you focus? So you are comfortable. So despite what he did in that last drive.
Yeah.
You're saying that starting next Sunday again, he needs to go back to trying to be the quarterback that he's been for the first 2+ games.
That's what they need to develop the offense, Mike. Hey, listen, when you're scrambling around, guys are going to get open. But that doesn't create disciplined route running. That doesn't create proper spacing. That doesn't create, an offense that runs efficiently. That is, draw it up in the sand and let's go. And they need to continue to work to be an efficient offense, you know, a timing offense. And as your young players, listen, your young players need to develop not only football acumen, football character, football intelligence. They also need to the football timing, and they need to understand the importance of route running and what it does for other guys on your football team. They need to understand the unselfishness of what a truly orchestrated offense looks like. And as they grow in that, man, there's always going to be some times when things break down. It goes back to the 70-30 rule. You want to win playoff games and win a world championship, but you better operate in that world, Mike. You cannot operate off schedule all the time. You look at with Russell, because of his deep ball throws and everything, you'll win plenty of games. But do you win championships like that? Like historically? You don't. I mean, unless you're just the outlier of all outliers. That's not how championships are won.
That's what we're expecting here. Not this year, but certainly in the very near future.
Okay.
On the subject of route running.
Yes.
Jerry Jeudy just hasn't learned yet, has he? And this time he bit off more than he could chew. Okay?
Yeah.
On Twitter last night, Shannon Sharp, reacting to what he saw. Jeudy, this is Shannon. Jeudy does all the route running in the offseason and can't catch a bleeping pass. Jeudy, maybe not understanding Shannon Sharp's position here in Bronco country, went after Shannon and tweeted back, and you be doing all that talking during the season while you're, he meant to say breath, while your breathe be smelling, well, let's just say it.
Yeah, go ahead.
Be smelling like your ass. So, and you be doing all that talking during the season while your breath be smelling like your ass.
Mm.
Jerry Jeudy going after Shannon Sharp. Jerry?
Yeah.
I'm rooting for you. You've had some flashes. I don't put that long ball drop as a drop. That's got to be difficult. You're reading the ball, and then the guy puts up his hand and deflects and tips the ball. That's a tough catch. That's tough. That would have been a hell of a catch.
Yeah, I don't
if
put,
he'd still be away. That's yeah, not a drop. That. That's not a drop.
No, I don't put that on Jeudy at
all. Okay, but, man, you're not going to win going after Shannon Sharp.
No, he's
just not going to win.
He's got a bully pulpit. And last time I checked, he was in the Hall of Fame, and you're trending as a first-round bust. He's a seventh-round Hall of Famer, and you're trending as a first-round bust.
Yeah.
So you might want to just...
This is a battle you do not want. You will lose.
Yeah. Yeah, not...
Relax.
Not particularly...
You don't have a whole lot of credibility banked that you're going to be able to go up against Shannon Sharp on this one and win.
Ultimately, I mean, so far, you know, what I always say, you haven't scored a piss in the bucket yet.
Correct.
So.
Correct. Andrew Mason, who was there last night, gives us the good, the bad, the ugly from what he saw last night. That's next.
You're going to need a bigger boat.
It's time for Schlereth and Evan's Big Story of the Day.
Funny, it's just that you're so big.
Here's Schlereth and Evan's with this morning's biggest story in Denver sports.
Big mistake. Big, huge.
Well, the big story today is, how do we feel about this team? How do we feel about this 2-1? Is it something that we should feel good about, encouraged about, or is it 2-1, but with a lot of negativity that surrounds it moving forward? Let's bring in Andrew Mason, our senior Bronco writer at DenverFan.com. Mace, how would you frame it?
I mean, first of all, the most important aspect of it is 2-1. I mean, you'd rather be 2-1, trying to figure these things out than 1-2 waking up like the Los Angeles Chargers today. But, I mean, basically what you've got is you've got a defense that has literally allowed no second-half touchdowns so far this season that gets better as the game goes on. And then you've got an offense that is struggling to find its way and an offense that maybe needs to be tweaked a little bit to allow Russell Wilson to do some of the things that he's done well in the past, because it didn't really seem to function effectively last night until you're able to get Russell Wilson moving and he had a couple of plays on third down on that last drive where when he was when he scrambled out of the pocket to set up a 27-yard pass to Hinton, and then another he scrambled for 12 yards on third down. So they might have to tweak some things offensively a little bit.
Anything that encourages you beyond the defense, on the offensive side, anything, any sign of encouragement that you take out of at least that last drive or the last couple of drives for this Broncos offense?
I mean, I think that the what they did on third down and then what Wilson did when he got moving. I mean, we all talked last week about how he had not he'd run the ball only sparingly. Well, he had a couple of times in the fourth quarter, and then of course one was on that 12-yard run, and then one on the play that got challenged and upheld, where he did take off and was able to get some yardage with his feet. And, it wasn't going to make a huge gain downfield, but those were moments where he looked like the Russell Wilson that we've known for a long time again. The thing is, Russell Wilson at his best is going to do things off script. He's going to do things when the play breaks down. And the offense, as it's structured and Russell Wilson within it, wasn't creating more of those opportunities until the fourth quarter last night. So I think that's where they have to look. I think that's where you find positives as well, is that when things broke down, that eventually Russell Wilson was able to make the kind of dynamic plays that he's known for.
Visiting with Andrew Mason. Mace, how are we to look at the hiring of Jerry Rosberg as Nathaniel Hackett's eye in the sky, and how does this reflect upon Hackett?
I mean, I know there's a thought that you shouldn't need it. The head coach, it's a sign that something's an issue with the head coach, blah, blah, blah. And I get that. But I like the fact that Hackett sought help and sought out something when he knew he was falling short in an area. I like the reflection, the self-reflection, self-awareness to know that, he had to do something different, and he didn't wait for the end of the year. I mean, usually these assessments and changes end up happening in January once you're done with the season, or February if you've made a deep run. And to his credit, he decided to do it right now. And I feel like there was a difference, and they were in and out of the huddle quicker. He talked about the 4th-and-1 decision in the fourth quarter when Rosberg said, okay, let's punt, and Hackett and Instinct said, go for it. And the thing is, though, it's going for Hackett long-term, and I'm talking about beyond this year, he's going to have to get to a point where having someone like Rosberg in his ear actually kind of changes the way he thinks about things in these split-second moments. That's going to be the key to see whether this kind of takes long-term or not. But, I mean, a lot of coaches wouldn't have made that kind of move in season, and I think it actually says a lot for Hackett for, you know, knowing where he's weak and trying to do something different to change that.
Mace, do you have any insight into whose decision it ultimately was? Was it a Hackett decision? Was it a George Payton decision? Was it a collective decision? And I'm with you. I think it shows humility. I think it shows intelligence. But ultimately, where did the buck stop?
As far as I know, this was ultimately a Hackett decision, and it was something that he initiated. But it was something that came down to kind of his own reflection, and like you said, the humility to know that, okay, I'm not getting this right, and I need someone else to come in and do it. Now, one of the advantages of having Walmart money, of having that owners that are worth north of $60 billion, is that when you make this sort of decision and you have to go get somebody out of retirement to do it, that money's no object. And it's pretty easy to find the cash to make that kind of move. It's not something that comes out of salary cap or anything like that.
All right. Good stuff, Mace. Thank you.
My pleasure, fellas. Have a great morning.
Andrew Mason, our senior Bronco writer at DenverFan.com, joining us on the Johnson Auto Plaza hotline. Texture, Paul in Boulder. Your show this morning, the entire tone is wrong. It's a big-time win against a good team on prime time. Celebrate the moment, drama queens. Have been.
We have been. The entire tone of our show is, hey, it has not been easy, but the first three games have pretty much gone exactly the way that most of us for months thought the first three games were going to go.
Right?
I will repeat. Nostranagan, speak. What did we say? The first three games, I expect the offense to struggle. I expect all the new faces in the coaching staff. I expect Russell Wilson and the lack of continuity to show itself in the first three games. I expect the offense to struggle. But the good news is you have a soft launch to your schedule. You're going to be facing three teams with three quarterbacks that should allow your defense to feast. And as long as the Broncos go a minimum of 2-1 in the first three games, I'll be okay.
Is this the week we hang 30 on somebody? It's the Raiders. This is the week, right? This has got to be the week. Hey, you said the first three games we're going to struggle. The first game they were actually really good offensively, except for the fumbles. This is the week. This is the week where it all comes together. Where you hang 31 on the Vegas Raiders. You send Josh McDaniels into the doldrums, right? Hurricane Josh starts firing people and going crazy. This got to be the week.
Yeah, no, that's not going to happen. That'd be...
You want to go mono a mono?
How do you... You can't...
Stinkadamus against Nostranagan?
You can't expect and then see it happen, the kind of struggles that you've had the first 3 weeks, and then just say, okay, we got through the first 3 weeks, now everything clicks. No, it's going to have to continue to be a... But I will give you this. It has to continue to build. I'm not expecting this offense to go from averaging... What are they averaging right now?
Gosh, about 14, 13 points a game. 11.
Scored 16, 16, and 11. So 32, 43. 43 points in three games.
Divided by three. Three goes by four ones.
13.5 points per game. So you're averaging two touchdowns a game. Go ahead. You want to do it. Go ahead. Add it up. Go ahead. 16 plus 16.
Hold on. Just
plus 11. Don't get too. That's 43. Just go 43 divided by three.
Divided by three.
Three equals.
14.3.
14.3. Okay. They're averaging 14 points per game.
Mr. 13.5.
All right. What else? 14 points per game.
Maybe you can predict things, but that Nostranagan certainly can't add things.
Or divide.
Do any of that math stuff.
14 points per game.
14.3 points per game.
So 14.3 points per game. So while...
So that, what kind of jump will they make then?
You can't expect it. You have to...
So that's not going to be 30.
You have to hope that...
They get to 20?
Yes.
I mean, it's going to be hard,
You got to start getting... You got to start averaging more than... You got to start averaging at least 20 points per game.
More than the teens, but it's going to just be hard to keep, from a defensive perspective, to keep people at 13 points a game or whatever they've been.
Here's how I would look at the curve.
Okay.
They're at 14 right now. By the time they get to London, I think they have to be averaging about 20, 21 points per game. And then by the time they head into the part of the schedule where they go at Baltimore, Kansas City, Arizona, at the Rams, at Kansas City, home against the Chargers, by the time they kick off that stretch, they got to be an offense that's averaging about 24, 25 points per game. So 14 to 20 to 20, 25.
They need to jump to 24 right about now.
They can't do that.
They can.
No, they can't.
Yes, they can.
No, based on what you've seen in the first 3 weeks.
Based upon just how I know things happen.
I want you to make your case for that. You'll do that next. First, though, a week from today, big, big day, huge. But I can't tell you what it's about because it's a secret. We have a big event coming up next Monday, but we want you to be a part of it. All the details, hush, hush. But we're putting on an awesome party. It's a chance for you to be there live
for what will be unforgettable. Free food, too. You got my attention there. Can't share any more details than that. Callers 4 and 5 right now win 4 VIP passes to this exclusive event. That's callers 4 and 5. We're going to be giving away every hour a chance to be there. Callers 4 and 5 right now at 303-713-1043. You win a 4-pack of VIP passes. Good luck.
It's Reaction Monday, presented by Superbook.com. Here's Schlereth and Evans.
It is a Broncos victory Monday, and to the spoils. To the victor goes the spoils, which for us...
To the spoils go the victor?
Hey, why not?
Sure.
The spoils in this case, donuts. Donuts from King Supers that were dropped off today.
Love donuts.
I had one. Saw Raj had one.
Mm-hmm.
I think Richie's already housed about 3 or 4 of them by now.
Yeah, yeah. So, yeah, well, he probably did some cross training or something stupid this morning. You know, Richie.
Worked his glutes.
Yeah. His glutes. Rubbed some buttermilk on his hamstrings.
Those things are singing.
That's right. Did some deep squat thrusts.
Fred in Jacksonville texts in.
Oh, uh-oh. Jack, all of a sudden,
oh, yeah,
tell me
right.
Jacksonville people are going to get their
Fred.
Their gander up
Fred.
All of a sudden.
No, Fred's a Bronco. Fred's a Bronco fan, okay. But yeah, Fred, how are things going down there in Jayville?
Gotta be excited.
People walking around with a little strut here?
Yeah.
Man, thanks to Urban Meyer. Man.
Boy, dude, what a team builder.
Boy, did he leave the cupboard full. Fred in Jacksonville says, why do we have to hear credit to Hackett? This is insane. He was hired as the head coach. But he's been allowed to hire a bunch of guys so he doesn't have to do the hard parts of the job. Hell, Stoke could be head coach if he had 15 assistants. What a joke. Really, Stoke?
Stoke is an assistant. So he's not a head coach. I think he's more of an assistant, right?
I don't know. Strikes me as somebody who could delegate well.
You think so?
No, sure.
There are plenty of guys, there are plenty of coaches that have somebody who helps them with game time decisions. They call play. Plenty. Everybody has an analytics guy, yeah. An analytics department.
Right. They did. They did. And this was the staff that Nathaniel Hackett put together. He had Justin Outen up there. His analytics guy, his guy before Rosberg was a guy named Brad Miller. So... I know that the organizational message will be, hey, Nathaniel Hackett acknowledged that this was something that had to happen. But I have a hard time believing in the immediate aftermath of Sunday night, mm-hmm. last week,
yeah.
when they struggled to get past Houston. I have a hard time believing that Nathaniel Hackett in that moment said, you know what, I know I've put this huge staff together. They just took their team photo the other day. I swear there's more coaches in this photo than there are players.
Right.
I put this staff together, and after two games, after a win, I'm going to be the one that says, you know what, let's scrap all that. Let's go, and I have a guy for you, and let's go bring in this guy who's been retired for 3 years and to serve as my eye in the sky. I just don't buy that. I think this was a case of George Payton, maybe even Damani Leach, saying, look, coach, this isn't working.
And
we got to do something different. Now, to Hackett's credit, he went along with it.
I don't care whose decision it was.
But
it's there's nothing wrong with making a decision when it's the right decision. It is amazing what can happen organizationally when nobody cares who gets the credit. Like, you got to, when you're a leader, and as a head coach, you're a leader, you're never going to be a good leader if you don't care more about the people you lead than you care about yourself. So if that means having to swallow your pride and saying, man, this is part of the job that overwhelms me, and I didn't think it would, but it does,
mm-hmm.
and I need help. There's nothing wrong with getting help. Nothing wrong.
Okay, if he requested it, that's one thing. If it's, this is the way it's going to be.
Well, you could stomp your feet and say, no, it's not.
No, but this is the way it's going to be. You need to accept this. Okay.
I'm okay with that.
I'm a first-time head coach. I don't have a whole lot of power to say, hell no. You're right. End of the day, all that matters is he's got help.
Right.
But
mm-hmm.
there is also the part of me that's like, why did we have to get into this position in the first place? Why wasn't there more foresight in being able to anticipate these kind of things so that you did not end up going through this for the first 3 weeks of the season? You did not end up having your crowd boo you. You did not end up having your crowd count down the play clock. Why wasn't there more foresight? Either in Nathaniel Hackett's or even George Payton. I'm gonna put this on George Payton's plate as well. You sat back and you allowed Nathaniel Hackett to construct the staff the way that he wanted to.
Sure. But why was there not more? Why was Nastranaga not approached? Like, why did you not see this coming? Well, because preseason, you've called plays before, but you didn't manage the game.
Right.
So you've called plays before plenty, and let's face it, that was something that was unforeseen. And when you play preseason football, you are so vanilla that these situations weren't happening to you.
But it wasn't unforeseen. We had all of our NFL former NFL guys on this station expressing their criticism or at least skepticism about how they were handling the preseason.
Sure.
They knew that they were setting themselves up for these kind of problems.
No, they didn't.
Or at least not... Putting yourself
we questioned them. They didn't question themselves.
No, that's what I'm saying. Our guys questioned them.
Right.
But the Broncos didn't question themselves.
No, they didn't question themselves until they started.
And that's on them. And there should be a certain amount of being able to see this coming.
They're 2-1, and after two games, they made the right decision.
I know, but
that's pretty, in the NFL parlance, that's pretty quick.
They were this close to being 1-2 or 0-3, okay? Now, luckily, they're 2-1, and that's the good news. And hopefully, they're on to better days.
Right.
But I think it has to be discussed. Why did they find themselves in this position in the first place? You made a comment. You said you believe you've seen enough evidence that this offense can go from averaging 14 points per game to jumping to 24-25 starting next week. Why?
Well, I think when you tie everything together, one, I think you're going to play against a defense that's going to give up points. That's one. And they've proven that over the first 3 weeks of the season. Okay, that's the Raiders. Two, I think the way you're running the football lends itself to continuing to create play action, create some plays. And three, I feel like Russell Wilson has taken a step toward, when things aren't working the way I'd like them to work, I'm going to take some matters into my own hands in critical situations. I think that's a good thing. And with that said, they're going to score their 24 points this week.
Whew. Okay.
Maybe 30.
Oof. Way to go.
Remember, you picked.
I'm not.
You picked them against Houston to score 30. You thought
I did.
Okay. So let's not.
I'm not. Well, that's because I thought Seattle was just a one off. But
let's not get our.
I think their issues are a little bit more deep rooted. I do think they'll continue to get better, but I'm looking at baby steps. You're looking at taking a Beeman-esque jump right there.
You right now.
See what I did there, folks? Somebody got that.
You are. Yeah, I got it.
You got it.
Yeah. Mexico City.
Yeah.
There you go.
Baby steps. Let's
got a little chicken, little Maryland.
Let's get him to 20 points, 21 points
before we start jumping
to 30. Time now for your injury report presented by Zoom Care. Broncos came out of this pretty healthy. Considering where they were after the Houston game, where we had concerns about Pat Surtain, Jerry Jeudy, they were both back out there yesterday. K'Wan Williams was out there making plays. Josie Jewell was back, made an immediate impact.
Yes, it was good.
No, that's good.
That's your injury report presented by Zoom Care. Visit ZoomCare.com to learn more about their Beyond Better urgent and primary health care clinics in Denver and Boulder. Today, we got the Players Club coming your way next.
Hey, it's Mike Evans. Siltahar Motors understands sometimes bad things happen to good people. That includes bankruptcy. If that is you, you can still purchase a car at Siltahar with zero money down in almost all cases. This is a program they've been doing for 25 years. The dealership itself is almost 60. Family-owned business that is proud of their reputation and proud to be a huge part of the Broomfield community. If you file bankruptcy, Siltahar Motors can help. Zero down and no payments for 45 days in almost all cases. Contact Team Zero Down at 720-446-9222 or online at sthmotors.com.